Have you ever lost something? Maybe it was your keys, your mobile phone, or something more valuable. To find them, you retrace your steps. You look in all the places they're most likely to be, and sometimes you look in places where they're probably not, but just in case. Sometimes when things go missing, you blame other people. You ask them if they've put them somewhere, if they've seen them. You sometimes think the worst. Maybe they've been stolen, taken from you when you weren't looking. Some of those theories that you come up with when something goes missing are far-fetched. You blame and have unreasonable thoughts. Those themes will be explored in this podcast, but not with insignificant material things, but with a person. This is the story of Desmond Francis Carr, who was last seen at 3 p.m. on August 2, 1979, and then he disappeared. Episode 7, The Rabbit Hole. When we left you in Episode 6, we had learnt some new information from a man who reached out to us via the website we set up. His name was Peter Connolly.
I was at the rodeo with my children. I had one son of my own and three other children that I was looking after at the time. So I was standing there watching the rodeo. It was kind of an early evening. I don't know exactly what time, 7, 8 o'clock, something along those lines. And I was standing kind of reasonably close and I could see the bar. And I looked up and I could see Des walking up to the bar. Now, at this time, I noticed that he was really, really quite drunk. He was doing quite a bit of staggering. It looked like he was talking to two couples of people, to the degree that I thought he was actually with them. But I didn't make contact because I was with my kids, and I thought to myself, oh, you're a bit too drunk to talk to tonight, Des. So I just let it go.
And so these people he was standing with by the bar, who were they, do you know?
Well, look, they weren't local people from Broome. I knew that I'd never seen them before. They looked like young European backpackers to me, kind of Northern European, maybe German, Swedish, something along these lines. That was just the impression that I got. Like I said, Des seemed to be with them. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I could see that he was talking to them in general.
My chat with Peter left many unanswered questions. Some of these questions had no real way of moving to a next step. For instance, Peter mentioned he saw Des hanging out with two foreign couples at the Broome Rodeo 2 nights after he was reported missing. It's going to be nearly impossible to find any trace of those people. Were they known to Des before the night? And where are they now? The other question I had was, did the police actually investigate this sighting of Des at the Broome Rodeo? From Peter's account of his visit to the police station over 40 years ago, he didn't feel like they really did much with the information. Finally, did my family, and in particular Des's sisters, my mum and my Auntie Joy, have any idea of Peter Connolly's story? Had this come up in over 40 years of questions? Let's pick up that call to my Auntie Joy from Episode 6.
You've got some more news, have you?
So Peter Connolly believes that he saw Des at the Broome Rodeo on the Saturday night after he was reported missing. Had you heard that before?
No, I hadn't. No.
The story goes from Peter Connolly is that he saw Uncle Des at the rodeo at about 7 o'clock at night. Now, Peter was with his kids at the time, and he was going to go and talk to Des, from what he says, but Des looked like he was pretty drunk.
Oh, yeah.
So he didn't go and talk to him. I asked him, was he positive it was Uncle Des? And he said he was 90% sure that the man he saw that night was Uncle Des.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that he said in the conversation I had with him was that Uncle Des was standing with two couples, and the couples weren't from Broome, because Peter obviously is a Broome resident and knows most people there. These two couples look like they were backpackers from either a European country.
All right.
And Des looked like he was very friendly with them. What are your first thoughts?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I really don't know, Jason, to be honest.
The other thing that Peter Connolly said, because I asked him, did he report it to the police? And he said he went to the Broome police station and reported it to an officer. An officer he knew at the time, because obviously they're all mates up there.
Yeah.
And he sort of said that the officer sort of went, oh, did you talk to him? And Peter said, no, I didn't talk to him because he was drunk. And then the police officer said that, well, how can you be sure it was him?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You just don't, there's so many people look-alikes too, but then I suppose if Peter knew him or...
So Peter said that he'd worked with him for a couple of years. He worked together when they were building Holmes West houses.
Oh, yeah.
And Uncle Des was a vinyl floor layer.
Floor layer, yeah. And that wasn't mentioned before.
Well, yeah, Peter says that he knew Des well. He knew him well enough to sit with him at a pub and have a beer. And he said Des was also, and obviously we know this, Des was very... he wasn't the sort of person you could mistake for someone else. Because he was quite distinct, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And so then by the time he reached police, and I can only go off what Peter said, we're still waiting to hear back from the detective. But from what I understand, Peter has gone to the police as soon as he knew, and from what he tells us, the police didn't really follow that up.
Follow it up, yeah. That's bad, really, isn't it? Yeah, no, I really don't know what to think about it. I mean, if that was so, surely, even with those backpackers that he met, surely that somebody would have known something, because Des didn't have all his Medicare cards and wallet and everything was still in his rooms.
That's right. So if he was at the Rodeo... having a few drinks.
Yeah.
Who was paying for them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and to go to the Rodeo, he probably had to have an entrance fee.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. And so do you think Uncle Des would have been the sort of person that would just hang out with random people?
I doubt it. He might have done. I mean, I couldn't say much about that because... it's been said that he was a loner, but he might have been a loner but not alone sort of thing.
There's one question that sort of a few people had asked via the website, and now this new information has come forward. Would he have just gone off to not make contact with the family anymore, do you think?
I would say no, definitely not. Because when he went up north, Mum was very sick at the time. Kelvin was only a baby then. And I found a letter the other day, actually, that Mum had written and said Des and his mate Colin had been in to see them, and he promised he'd be back in a couple of months to see Mum because she wasn't well. And I just can't see him just not contacting, particularly Gwen, because Gwen and Des were very close. You know, they had more in common, I suppose you might say, with the Speedway and things like that. I just couldn't imagine he would go off. I mean, I know that's being probably talking from family. Like I say, the growing up years with Des, I wasn't with him so much then. I was, you know, living down here. All my information sort of thing about Des and Cheryl and Gwen and that came via grandmother and my letters. Because even those days it wasn't much phone calls.
You can tell this was new information for my auntie, and it doesn't seem like she had any idea of this sighting, which sort of makes me think maybe it wasn't reported at all. If it was, surely my family would know of the sighting. 40 years may have passed, but this is not something you would easily forget. As mentioned in the last episode, I'd sent an email to the detective in charge of Missing Persons WA, Jude Sevright. Jude had been very helpful up to this point in sharing the actual official police records of what was reported around my uncle's disappearance. In my numerous chats with Jude in the podcast to date, the story of Peter Connolly and what he says he reported to police was never mentioned. In an effort to verify Peter's story and to see if this was actually ever reported to police officially, I got in touch with Jude.
Good morning, missing persons. Jude Sevright speaking.
Hi, Jude. Jay, how are you going?
Hey, very well, thank you.
Would you mind just giving me what you received or from the police report?
The police report comments that there was a phone call received from Mrs. Moore, sister of Des.
That's right, Gwen Moyer, yeah. Who was Des's older sister.
Yeah, that's right. Now, she apparently received some information from another gentleman who had been speaking to Peter, who told him about the sighting at the Broome Rodeo. And so that was followed up by Broome Police. And the information was received that Peter had seen Des at the rodeo in Broome on the 11th of August. And apparently, according to the report, he was in a drunken state at the time, this particular person that Peter had seen. So Broome Police followed that up from the report and says that Peter attended at the Broome Police Station where he actually spoke to the police. And this was followed up by one of the police aides who, in fact, I believe, went with Peter to the rodeo to have a look and sort of see where he'd been seen at this particular time. And from talking to Peter, it seemed to be the case that he wasn't entirely sure if it was, in fact, Des. And also there was some information that there was other workers there from Main Roads at the rodeo on this particular day. So the assumption was that if Des had been there, that he would have been sighted by his other co-workers. So the outcome was that more than likely the person that Peter saw was not Des.
I'm really thankful Peter came forward. His call was very genuine. As a family member, any information we receive is helpful, whether it leads somewhere or not. It's helpful to either shut down possible theories or sometimes even to give us some closure. I thought the best way to tackle this new information from police was to give Peter another call. Thanks so much for, firstly, for giving us the info that you gave us. It actually was excellent for the family. The family really, really appreciated it. And we reached out to the police and the officer that we've been dealing with that you might have heard in the podcast, Jude. And she had some information that's a bit contradictory to what you said. And I just want to put this out there because we're just trying to find out, get to the bottom. So in our conversation... you believe the 90% sure that you saw Des at the rodeo on the Saturday after he went missing.
Yeah, that's right.
You then went to the police and reported it to a copper that you knew up at the Broome Police Station. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he didn't really take much notice, in your words.
No, that's the feeling that I got. There was no written statement or anything taken.
Okay,
it was just a conversation.
So the contradictory information that we got was that Jude has come back and said that a gentleman called Frank Bain, do you know that name?
No.
Okay, so Frank Bain was the foreman at the Main Roads Department at the time.
Yeah.
Police have on record that they actually questioned you or basically interviewed you at the time. Do you remember that happening?
No, I went to them.
Yep.
I went to the Broome Police Station and seen Sergeant Smith.
And that's all you recall? So
no one else interviewed me.
Okay, so I might just read you what I got from the police officer, and we can go from there, because in no way am I saying you're not being truthful.
That's fine. This is interesting.
Yeah, it is, and that's why it's sort of made me go, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Let me read you the email that I got from Jude. Information was received on the 6th of September 1979 from Des's sister, Mrs. Moyer, that's my auntie, that she heard from Frank Bain, who was the main roads department where Des worked, that Peter Connolly thought he saw Des' car at the rodeo on the 11th of August 1979. So that was about a week later. Apparently, Des was drunk at the time. Peter Connolly was questioned extensively by the police at the Broome police station and further assisted by attending the rodeo grounds with the police, where he showed them the location where he thought he saw Des. Did you ever do that?
No, I never. All that happened was that I went to the police station and spoke with Sergeant Keith Smith.
Yep.
I didn't go out to the rodeo grounds with anybody. I didn't. Well, what was the other guy's name? Frank Bain.
Frank Bain, who worked at the main roads at the time.
I've never met him in my life.
Okay, so I'm going to try and get to the bottom of that with the police officer. It is noted in the police report that Connolly was not sure if it was Des, which you said you were 90% sure. Also, it was noted in the investigating police information provided at the time that there were other Main Roads Department employees present at the rodeo who were more than likely would have recognised Des if he was there. It's interesting, isn't it? So
yeah, it is, but I just don't know why they put this other stuff in there.
And that's what's blown me away, because your memory of what happened and who you went to see was really clear.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And it's clarity that you've had for 40 years. So either the police, and I'm yet to talk to the police, and I will in a moment, but either the police have, I don't know who's written that report, so I will find I will find that out shortly. But you're 100% sure that you never went to the rodeo grounds with the police?
No, with the police. I definitely did not. Absolutely, definitely did not.
And equally, are you 100% sure that you were never extensively questioned by the police?
No, definitely not. Like I said, all I done was went and seen Keith Smith. We had a 5-minute conversation. And it was all over. I could tell that he considered that my report wasn't conclusive.
This now makes it really confusing. Peter's saying one thing, and the police report is saying something totally different. Jude Severite, the head of Missing Persons WA, said this when I asked her why the difference between these two accounts.
Well, the only thing I can put that down to, perhaps, is the passage of time since the event happened. I would assume that the information written by the police on the police report was written at the time of the investigation with Peter. So perhaps maybe the passage of time is not correct, or I don't know. That's what's written on the report, so it's hard for me to comment. I've got no reason to say that he's not telling the truth.
With this detail now that you've got around Peter being 100% sure that he never went to the rodeo and that he was never questioned extensively by police, is that enough to have a conversation with him again?
Oh, yeah, I've got no issues with having a chat with Peter, for sure.
And then from there, I guess it becomes up to you on what the next steps are?
Yeah, I guess we'll have a chat and we'll see what information he's got to give. Who's the police officer that he spoke to?
I think it was Smith. The police officer name on the report, are you able to tell me who that was? The same police officer or different?
Different to that.
Okay. And he was at Broome Police? This was made at Broome Police Station?
Yeah.
So the report names a different officer to the one Peter says he spoke with. Also, Peter said he was at the rodeo on August 4. Police say it was on August 11. It's been hard to verify the actual date of the rodeo. The Broome Rodeo Ground has no record before the late 80s. We're now searching old newspapers to try and establish what date it was actually on in 1979. I'm hoping Jude and Peter get to talk and clear up what seems to be a pretty large discrepancy in what's a very important piece of information. Is there more to this story? Is it memory lapse or something else? My Auntie Gwen's daughter, Michelle, has been reaching out to some of the family and friends who may be able to verify some of the different information we've been receiving. Recently, she posted on a Facebook group for the Derby notice board. Derby isn't far from where Des went missing, and also where he lived for a while. There have been loads of comments on Facebook, with people tagging friends and family members who worked at Thangoo around this time. Lots of names have come up, and we're following up with some of them. Some are people who worked with Des, some were at the rodeo that same night. Did they maybe see him? And can they verify what Peter says he saw? We want to make sure that anything we put in the podcast helps us get closer to some answers. We also don't want to just throw out wild theories that do nothing but confuse what is a very confusing situation for our family. There is no clear path forward. It's really like trying to find a needle in a haystack. However, my family's been searching for answers for 40 years. So what's a little while longer? We're working in real time now, so we can't really predict what the next step of the podcast is. Suffice to say, this doesn't feel like the end.